You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hoofit. Head. And Hotbox.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Training Dummies. This is episode 3, recorded for you on July 19th, 2012. I am Taylor. I play a druid tank named Hoofit. With me today is one who hails from the land of football that plays a whole season with only one team that matters, Daryl the Resto Shaman, named Hend. Also with us is That's Rob, great. our DPS Death Knight, known as Hotbox. And today our topic is macros. This is one small word with a huge amount of potential. Before we get started on these macros, though, Hotbox, how has your week been in the game and out of the game of World of Warcraft?
It's episode number 4!
Yeah!
You said episode 3, so I had to set the record straight.
Aw, oh, crap!
It's been kind of awesome. On a personal note, my brother had a surgery today. He found out a few weeks ago that he had cancer. So he had surgery today, and they pulled a bunch of stuff out, and everything's looking really good. So I kind of feel a huge weight lifted off. And that's really cool. In game, we went ahead and raided tonight, even though one of our guys was having some technical difficulties. And the 30% nerf is nuts. You can go in there and just pretty much fart on stuff and it falls over. So there's kind of no excuse for us to not be doing more heroics at this point. I don't know what you guys think, but Hend, what do you think about that?
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, the raid was kind of silly. We should have been done hours ago, but like you said, one of the guys had technical difficulties. But man, we flew through Deathwing Madness. That was insane. And the mount dropped again.
Stupid. Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, we had the mount drop again. Of course, the person who rolls it is someone who hasn't raided with us in at least 4 months.
So. Right.
As expected. Glad to hear about your brother that everything went well today. That's really good. You know, other than that, in game this week, I've been trying to collect pets. I'm on a kind of a pet frenzy right now. I got the Phoenix Hatchling from Magistar's Terrace. And other than that, I've been going through Collectinator, which I think we mentioned on episode 1. And using that and just picking up all the vendor pets right now before I start getting into finding other pets. Hoofit, how has your week been?
It has been a medium-paced week for me at a medium pace there. I have finished the second book of the Well Eternity series, and I have yet to start the third book of, I'm sorry, what was it? The War of the Ancients. Well of Eternity is the first one. Demon Souls is the one I finished. And I am waiting to start The Sundering. But I haven't yet had time to do that. Also, a yes for Rob, your brother. I'm glad things are looking up for that. I know we had talked a lot offline about that. And I'm glad that things are in a lighter mood for you there.
Yeah.
In game, yes. Damn, man. We got this mount dropped twice in a month, and none of the people that show up every week are lucky enough to roll on it. But we are not the kind of guild that are jerks about the mount dropping and only special people get it, or people with insane amounts of gold get it, even if I would offer it up. But but yes, it's, you know, we have very fair rolls on that stuff, and that's just how it goes, I guess. I am
just
a little
gives
sad
us a
inside.
Reason to bug them for not playing.
Yeah,
maybe they'll feel obligated to come in a little more.
lots of guilt.
Yeah, we'll have to lay it on thick.
So, we didn't have a whole lot of feedback from last week, so I guess we're not going to go into that. Maybe we bored people to death with too much of that talk. I don't know.
You needed some lube to go with that dry talk about World of Logs.
Jeez, yeah.
Hey, that was the best part of the show.
Let me paraphrase this. I'm going to paraphrase this, and 10 minutes later, I am done with the one sentence I
paraphrased. Best part of the show is you guys weren't interrupting me.
No, I was asleep.
Oh, man.
Jeez. Right.
All right, so, yeah, well, we still have some listener emails and tweets and whatnot, so we'll go over a couple of these right now. We've got Jules the Torin from Torin Think Tank asked us, what one piece of advice would we give a new player playing our class specifically? So I guess that means she's asking about a Torin, or not a Torin, a Druid Tank, a Resto Shaman, and a, what is it, Frost DK?
Yes.
I just look at the numbers. I don't care what your spec is.
That's right. It doesn't matter.
So, what would you give him?
Number one anyway.
Someone starting out a Resto Shaman, what's your one piece of advice?
My one piece of advice, not just necessarily Resto, but for the whole Shaman class, it's called Bloodlust, not Heroism, and don't let anyone tell you differently.
Excellent.
It doesn't even matter if it's an Alliance Resto Shaman.
Exactly. Bloodlust.
There you go. I dare. All right. What about you, Mr. Frost DK? What's your one special piece of advice?
Well, first thing, they'd get a giant bro fist and a congratulations for making the best choice that they could have possibly made in the game.
What?
That we call World of Warcraft. For a Frost DK is amazing. And brings the pain. But honestly, it took me rolling a couple of Death Knights and actually getting them up to 85 to really, really get the hang of it. I was talking with Ladicious Warrior earlier on via Twitter and kind of saying that the runic system is weird. It's not like any of the other resource systems of any other tunes. So it takes a lot of practice to really... I mean, you can catch on to it really quick. But it takes a lot of practice to get really good with it. So don't be intimidated by it. It's kind of weird. It's not quite like any of the other classes. So, you know, if you have any questions, ask people. Ask us. You know, look around online. You know, Elitist Jerks or Noxic. But there's just stick with it, and you will not regret it by any means. How about you, Mr. Torin Druid, Herbalist Tank?
Best piece of advice I have really is, this is a new player playing my class. Oh man, I can think of all kinds of things to say to an experienced player that's just starting a druid tank, but oh man, what do I tell a new player? That I guess I would have to say, learn how to be, or experiment with being extremely versatile. As you're learning your new forms and you're learning your, you know, whether you're playing cat or bear or even your caster stuff, when you're shifting out between stuff, running away, learn how to use your roots or your, nature's grasp, and healing yourself on the run and then switching back. And, you know, any kind of practice you can get with lots of different shape shifting, even if you are. You know, if you declare, I am a cat druid, or I'm a bear druid, or I'm a chicken druid, or a tree, learn how to maximize all of your shifting, and learn whichever spec you end up being in and going with. Learn what's useful out of the other ones, and take from that, but still use those things even in whichever spec you roll with. It's gonna come in handy later. I know it's a lot, but geez, man. I mean, Druid has so much going on to it that they're splitting it into four trees and mists. So yeah, it's kind of rough. So I just kind of rambled on that one. For Druid Tank, learn how to pop in and out of cat form as fast as possible, learn how to bust out and get your rebirths going, or bust some heals or innervates on the people healing you when the opportunity arises. Good luck with that.
All right, we also got another question here from Laditious Warrior, and he asks, how did you gentlemen end up choosing the mains you currently play and why? Hotpox, why are you playing a Frost Death Knight?
Well, I know I've said this before, but they're all my mains, every last one of them. But I don't know, you guys have seen me bounce around from tier to tier, trying out different specs, and this one just really, really clicked with me. It's really, really fast-paced. It's real, you know, you can get a lot of really good damage out of it. You can get in there and just tear it up, and I don't know, I played a few melee classes, and it was all right. You know, I liked Kitty Druid and Rep Pally and everything, but man, I got onto that Frost Death Knight, and it was just like, the light bulb came on, and it was just so much fun just to get in there and, you know, just straight out of the gate. There wasn't a lot of ramp up. You just get in there and you start tearing it up, so I had a ton of fun with that. How about you, Hoof?
Well, Hoof is my main, and it has been since Burning Crusade. Before Burning Crusade, I went through a spell of many different characters trying to look for my most favored class. For a long time, it was a shaman until they really kind of changed it up, and I kind of didn't like what they did. I still played them, and then I started playing a mage, and that was just out of kind of spite, I think, to prove to somebody that playing a mage was not hard. It is not the hardest class in the game to play, as they said it was. And I
it's kind of the opposite of that, isn't it?
Oh man, after I was playing it, I'm like, holy moly, why didn't I play this mage before? And I was it was ridiculous. And then it was in Burning Crusade, or I even had Hoofit in vanilla, and I didn't have Hoofit maxed out, not level capped, but it was pretty high up there. But I was mostly playing the mage. And after Burning Crusade came out, and it was in the Shattered Halls, in what's that darn place called? In Hellfire Peninsula, the Citadel, the Hellfire Citadel? In the Shattered Halls. There's a gauntlet. Yeah, there's a gauntlet in there.
Oh, the archers.
Well, I remember the gauntlet.
Yeah, the arrows at you and all that.
Well, I was AoEing on the mage, doing my normal, I am just killing stuff like crazy and looking super awesome, and there was a bear tank, and I saw the bear tank just ripping stuff apart, and I had always had an interest in tanking, but watching that bear just go to town, I said, whoa, I should pull Hoofit out of out of the closet. Should I rephrase that? I don't know. I guess that actually technically applies. Hoofit was a girl when I first rolled it, and I did sex
something.
Change. Yeah, so I guess I did pull Hoofit out of the closet, and started leveling Hoofit up. The final factor was I had gotten an epic staff that was, you know, agility staff, and that was the final nail in the coffin for this. Is after watching that druid tank and after getting that staff, I'm going to go ahead and commit Hoofit. And once I started doing it, it was almost impossible to turn back. I started seeing blogs and videos of warriors doing stuff, and I'm like, I can do that. You know, they say only a warrior can do this, so I went and did it. And maybe not only a warrior, but for example, during the Hunger, they were, at the time, you know, warriors had to stack block for insane amounts, and that's what determined their shield slam damage. And they were soloing Dern the Hunger when he was, I think he was elite, if I recall. If not, he was very, very, very strong. And it took a group to kill him. Warriors were soloing him, so I decided I'm going to try to solo him too. And I did a couple times just to prove that I could do it to myself. And I have not looked back since. I have enjoyed tanking so much that I started rolling other classes, and Finally got my last tanking class, the Death Knight in Cataclysm. I hated him so much throughout all of Wrath and most of Cataclysm that I didn't want to roll a Death Knight. I refused. But I finally gave in.
Those lobby Death Knights that come in and just ruin it for everyone.
Well, I never said that the class was bad. I from playing with so many DKs that ruined my experience, my impression. I don't know what to say. Yeah. It just infuriated me, and I didn't want to taint my computer with rolling a DK. But I finally decided to do it. So now I've got all four tanking classes, and now I'm gonna have to try to make room for a fifth here eventually. So, Hend, what got you into resto shamanism?
Well, we kind of went into this a little bit on our intro episode, but I was in the beta. I tried both the Paladin, which was only Alliance at the time, the Shaman, which was only Horde at the time, and seeing as how I really like playing the Bard in Dark Age of Camelot, the Shaman was most closely linked to that, so that's what I decided I wanted to play, and I've just loved it ever since. It's I rolled it on release day, and I haven't wavered from that. I remember doing I healed during Molten Core for a bit, and all the way through, then I joined Horde Release. It became the only healer we had at the time, and we did what we could then, but it's something I've always enjoyed doing, is being the healer, and Shaman just kind of fits my playstyle well, and after 7.5 years I'm very attached to Hend, so I can't ever see myself changing from that.
Oh, all right. Well, what else we got here?
I think it's time to get into our topic. Is it not?
Let's do it.
All right. Macros. What are they?
Yay.
What's a macro? A lot of people are afraid of these things. You say macro and people kind of, they're like, ah, macros is a cheat, or it's a... it's not a part of the game. It's play. It's just playing the game for you. What good is a macro? I personally like to think of it as a customizable extension of my spellbook. It allows me to make things work the way I want to make it work. Make it a little bit easier to do. If you've ever used a slash command, maybe you're doing an emote or you're doing a silly or a dance even. A macro is a way to turn that into a button form, just like a spell. You can do a lot more with it. You can augment specific spells with other things into it. It's kind of like an add-on without the GUI. But not every macro fits everybody equally. It is very dependent on your playstyle as to what macros are going to work for you or not. You can kind of make them up and... as you go along, I've made up a lot of macros, but someone else has thought of the same macro before somewhere else. It's not like, they're just so diverse, and it's hard not to come up with these things. But what a macro isn't, it is not a means to automate your gameplay. It is not a cheat. As far as I'm aware, they've been in the game since vanilla, if not even in the beta. I don't know if it was in the beta or not. But I didn't play it. But I remember hearing about it. And my first macro ever, my first macro was the slash train macro.
Nice.
Yes.
That was many, many years ago.
That's awesome. My first one was a target and follow. Because I was playing with a friend of mine who had got me to sign up for a trial account, and I had no idea what I was doing. And he had been playing for a while, and he was off running around. And so I set up a target and a follow. So if he started to take off, I didn't have to do anything. I just had to hit one button, and I wouldn't go chasing after him. So.
Yeah, I think that would have been one of my first ones as well, was something like that.
Wow, okay. I would have expected something different from you.
Such as?
Or did you write that one for your wife?
I think I probably did, actually.
Well,
I don't remember
okay.
when I started actually using macros, but yeah.
I'm sure you're going to say you started using macros when you started teaching me how to use macros, right?
Actually, I think I invented macros, actually. Right. I'm pretty sure now that I think about it. I called Blizzard up and said, hey, you know what you need in this game? I call them macros. let's just go all the way with this.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Sounds legit.
It does. And then after I did that, I said, hey, Taylor, guess what? I just put this in the game here. They're going to do it. I'll show you.
Right. Oh, boy. Okay. So, listeners, if you're listening, which I hope you are.
Well, I guess that's a defining term.
If you haven't totally zoned us out by now, there's a couple of websites we can go to. I'm going to recommend, actually, Rob found this website. There's several you could go to, but for now, there's two websites I'm going to suggest that you go to. And you can load these up and kind of look at them. We're not going to talk about the ones on the website, but at least if you're not familiar with macros, you can kind of see what we're talking about and understand why we're not going to actually say and speak every macro that we talk about, because that would be nuts. So the first website you should pull up is wowmacros.info. This has it's got a very decent list of generic macros, and it's got a list of class macros. I don't remember it being sorted by role. It just kind of has a class, and then it just has a bunch of macros, and it kind of says what they do. I don't know that it's sorted out or divided by roles.
No, it's not. It's just, yeah, you can click over on the left-hand side, you click your class. If you're wanting an overview, there's one on there that just says general macros, and it is a ton of generic but really great ideas for very, very basic macros and how to do it and what it is.
Right. The other thing that you might want to check out, maybe you don't need to specifically, the other website that you should pull up, though, if you're not familiar with this, is macroexplain.com. And basically, any of these macros on this website, if you are not sure, the website tells you basically what it does, but if you really want to break it down, you can copy those macros and paste it into Macro Explain, and then there's a button that says explain this macro, and it will tell you the logistic explanation of the macro. So it basically tells you step by step, this is doing this, then this is doing
like
this.
Layman's terms, yeah.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't call it layman's terms, as opposed to it, that it breaks it out like a programming language is telling you exactly what it's doing and in what order it's doing it in.
It's also a great site as well if you're gonna write your own macros, and you want to make sure they're gonna work before you get them into the game. Go and put them into macroexplain.com, and you'll be able to see if it's going to work the way you think it should. And if you have tried it game and something's not working right, you'll be able to troubleshoot it that way as well. By it giving you a detailed explanation of what's working, and if something's not working, it'll tell you it's not working. It'll say you have a bad command or something like that in there. So,
right, if there's
that way as well.
If there's a break in the macro somewhere, it'll say, hey, this won't work, because it'll have like a little question mark and say, hey, this has a global cooldown attached to it. The rest of the macro is not going to work. Or it'll say, you've got two of the same conditions fighting for the same thing, and so it's going to break at this point. So yeah, if you definitely delve into the realm of modifying a macro that exists already to do something you want, or if you're writing from scratch, that's a great site to plug stuff into. And also it's really a good way to learn how macros work in the first place, because I remember when I first found this site, I was plugging in macros all the time, and it helped me learn the syntax of how macros work, like how to use the the semicolons to separate spells, like basically breaking it out, or what's in brackets, the conditions in the brackets, or the parameters outside of the brackets, all that stuff. It helped me just kind of learn it by just pasting in macros that other people had already written, so that I understood exactly step-by-step what was going on, and I could see, oh, well, this is why it's doing that, because it's got this command here, and it's got this command there, and that's why it does it. So that is a very, very helpful site. It won't give you macros, but it will help you learn the ins and outs of macros. And if nothing else, if you're just suspicious, what does this macro really do? It'll tell you exactly what it does. Well, you know, some people are paranoid. Hey, this macro is going to... the second I installed a macro, my account got hacked. You know what I mean? It's impossible. But even wowmacros.info is going to have quite a bit of stuff that you can use. It's got some generic macros. It has class-specific macros. What I recommend when if you know that you're looking for something very specific, you are looking for a Shadow Priest macro that does this. Honestly, open up Google, type in Shadow Priest macro, and then whatever other thing that you're looking for. It's probably going to bring up a couple sites. WowWiki has a huge archive of all kinds of different macros for every class and every spec within that class, and they are definitely sorted out. One thing you have to look out for is what version of the game the macros are written for, because over time spells have changed. Some spells have had a global cooldown added to them, or had it removed from them, or things just work a little bit differently than they may used to have in the past. So make sure that if you use an old macro, it's not to say that it won't work, because a lot of stuff has not changed. But if it's not working, just go back and look and see, okay, well, maybe I should look for something a little bit newer if that one's not working. You know, how do you even get to the macro screen? If you're not familiar with macros, you may not know this. All you have to do is type /macro, and this brings up your macro window in the game. And really, to get started, all you have to do is click on New, type in a name for your macro. I like to keep them a little bit short so that the name fits on the action bar button whenever I put it somewhere. You can make it an acronym, or you can type out a word, either way. And then you don't have to pick an icon. You can, but you don't have to, because inside of the actual macro command, you can have it call up the icon of whatever spell you're trying to work with. But if you're just making something generic, you can pick an icon. Once you've done that, then you've got this box in the window that you can just type whatever you want in. If you are familiar with writing macros, you probably don't care about this episode, but if you're not familiar with macros, this is where the magic is made. And yes, if you don't know how to program, it doesn't matter. If you don't know how to write macros, it doesn't matter. If you can copy and paste, that's all you have to know to use macros, because somebody somewhere has written the macro that you want, and all you got to do is find it and then just paste it in there. Bam, you've got it. I've got a few favorite all-purpose macros. Of course, my favorite macro is Train. It is the first macro, and I will always love it.
That's a guild favorite right there.
Oh, yes. Man. That's a requirement to join the guild. Maybe you've got a probation period, but eventually you're gonna have a Train macro. I just know it.
Well, that's how we pay for services within guild, isn't it?
Yeah, that is the guild currency.
It also counts as in-game currency for enchants or gym cuts or anything like that.
Yeah, if people don't pay me, I'm like, hey, you gotta pay up. They try to put gold in the window. I'm like, what are you doing? You're new, obviously. You've got to give me a Train. I need a Train right now. And hey, there you go. Other all-purpose macros. There's mouse over macros. There's focus macros, crowd control macros, interrupts, stop casting. And you might wonder, why do you want to stop casting? But we might be able to explain that a little bit later.
We went into that a little bit with the Rhett Pally last.
Oh, that's right. We did.
We did, yes.
Uh-huh. Start attack. That's another one of my favorites for melee classes. Adding your trinkets. You ever have those trinkets that are on use and you just always forget to use them? That's pretty nice to have.
Yeah, that'd be me.
And adding your racials or profession bonuses to your abilities or attacks. You've got all these extra little bonuses that you can be using, and it's a lot of stuff to keep track of, and putting all this stuff on all your action bars, you know, you run out of hotkeys or you run out of keybinds, or heck, you might even be running out of macro buttons, or you're just tired of using every button on your keyboard and mouse, and then also, in addition to that, having shift modifiers for every button on your keyboard and mouse gets a little daunting. So yeah, macros can help consolidate some of that stuff, free up some space, and make things a little bit easier for you to handle.
You know what I thought of something too when you were talking about the when you call up the window to make your macro?
Yeah.
Up at the top of that window, there's two tabs. There's a left and a right tab, and I didn't realize this for a long time, and I actually ran out of space for all my macros, and I didn't realize that the second tab there is specific to whatever character you're logged into. So if you've got macros that are just for that character, it doesn't matter what spec, but that character, like for my Death Knight, if I have specific macros, I can always put them in there. Anything that's on that first tab is going to be shared, and you can, and no matter what tune you log into, when you go into that macro interface, you'll be able to see those. So that's like a whole another set of macro slots that you can use, per se.
They right. still need yeah, to add I, more, though. I'm running out.
Yeah.
I know on a couple of characters, I've got my character-specific macro window filled up, and then I just need, like, two more buttons or macro spaces, and then I end up bleeding those over into the general tab.
Yeah.
So my other classes can see the, you know, my bear macro or whatever on the general tab, unfortunately. But I try to keep, like, my mount macros or my pet macros. I keep all those in the general or generic, I think it's general tab. So that way, you know, my pet macro is usable across all my tunes. I don't have to hog up a character specific spot for it.
My train macro, my mount macros, anything like that, go into the general one for sure. So when I start a new character, I just go in there and grab that macro off and put it down.
My flex macro, that goes in there.
Good slash train like a boss.
We have, let's see, another tweet from Ledicious Warrior. And he asks, I wouldn't mind a bit of protection pally macros. I currently don't use any macros. What? Come on, you gotta use something.
Dude.
Even a slash train.
Okay, so I only had three, but now I must add a fourth. So the first one I shall now change into, the first thing Ledicious Warrior needs to do is on his general tab, make a slash train macro. Do it!
That's it. I want to see a screenshot
of
you saying something clever along with your train emote.
Now, since this was a request for this specifically, I'll do my best to give my basic examples, just a couple of basic ones. Using macros while tanking on a paladin. And as I stated before, the macros are very diverse. These may not fit your playstyle, but you can give them a shot, and they might give you some ideas if you don't like these. But this is what I use on my paladin. And keep in mind, I've got all four tanks. They're all level capped, and they're all looking for raid, at least ready, and have tanked looking for raid. But keeping all this stuff straight in my head is quite a task for me. So I try to keep things as simple as possible so that I can move between characters with as little detriment to my group as possible. The first thing that you want to do, in my opinion, as a paladin tank, is you want to make a righteous defense taunt. Now, what righteous defense is, for those that don't know, this is not an actual taunt. The taunt is Hand of Reckoning, and that's basically like a warrior's taunt or the bear's growl. I can't even remember what the dang bear's thing is called. I just call it taunt.
Yeah.
And that's my main. Growl. Come on. Yeah, I think it is Growl. It's just been called Taunt for so many years. It's Taunt. That's what it is. Anyway. So yes, Righteous Defense is not an actual taunt the way Hand of Reckoning is a taunt. So what Righteous Defense does is it makes you have to, if you use the spell the way it's right out of the spell book, what you physically have to do is you have to target, you have to figure out who pulled the aggro in your group. Then you have to target that person, and then you press Righteous Defense, and then the spell takes the aggro off of that person for the characters that are attacking him and pulls it back to you. That's a real pain in the butt, in my opinion, and I think they should just fix this spell or remove it. And just,
I know,
and
warriors and bears have AoE taunts, so you don't have to mess
right, exactly. You don't even have to target anything for those. So this one's a little janky, in my opinion, but you can make a macro that makes this very easy. So what the macro will do is it will allow you to, let's say somebody pulls threat off of you, you can use Righteous Defense as a taunt. You don't have to retarget anybody else. You can just stay on the target, or if it's a big group pull, you can just click on the enemy that's heading for somebody. You know, maybe you don't know who it's heading for because there's three people grouped together, so, and you don't have time to think of who, which ally you got to click on.
Right.
So yeah, you can just click on the enemy, use Righteous Defense, use the Righteous Defense macro, and what the macro will do, it'll target the character for you, and then cast the spell, and then go back to that enemy target. So it does all that behind the scenes. You don't have to worry about that. That's the first one. The second one, these are my lazy macros. I combine, because I forget to use them, but they have very short cooldowns, and they should be used often. I combine my Holy Shield to
Can I just say real quick, we're going to put these in the notes. We're not actually going to go over all the syntax, but we're going to include all this in the show notes and get it out so you guys can see this stuff. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will put the actual macros that you can copy and paste if you want to try these out. These will be in the show notes. But because it would take forever to actually say these dang things, we're not going to say them. We'll just tell you what they do, and you can pick them out and play with them afterwards if you'd like.
Yeah,
so,
if you think Taylor talks a lot now, just get him reading out macros. Oh, boy.
Oh,
we'd be here till Thursday next week.
Oh my god! I hate reading out macros. I hate it so much. I'm like, let me, you know, when we were in guild, I'm like, dude, let me just, I'll just make a post on the forums, and you can copy and paste
email
the stuff.
It to you. Yeah.
I am not gonna tell. I am not gonna say this over vent or mumble or voice, whatever. Yeah, heck no, screw that. All right, so my lazy defensive macros are: I combine Holy Shield and Divine Protection. Those are 30. That's a 30-second cooldown and a 1-minute cooldown. I combine those to my Shield of Righteousness and my Word of Glory, respectively. Because these two things are not on the global cooldown, you can combine both of these with either of those abilities, and it'll activate every time you use Shield of Righteousness. Holy Shield will activate every time I use Word of Glory. Divine Protection will activate because I'm constantly using both of those. It helps keep my damage reduction abilities always being used. So it's like I said before, keeping it all straight on across all of my tanks is a little daunting. So I try to do things that will make things easier for me for my survivability. Now, I don't macro my huge damage reductions, my Guardian or my the one where if I drop below, it'll bring me back up to
20%. Yeah.
I don't have those macroed to extra abilities. Those are my, I consider those are my big main survival cooldowns. These two abilities, these are things that you should be using all the time. I mean, they last for a long time. They have very short cooldowns. You could essentially have them in theory active every pull in a dungeon or in a five man or even in a raid. So it helps your survivability, helps your healer, so your healer can keep you alive easier and keep your group alive to have these things, in my opinion. But your playstyle may be a little bit different. That may not be the thing for you, especially if you only play Paladin. You might have those keys, you know, muscle memoried to all heck. But I don't. So my third one for Ledicious Warrior is I have Hammer of the Righteous and Crusader Strike on the same button. And I have, I don't remember if it's a control or a shift modifier, but I have a modifier key that will make the same button do one thing or the other. So that way it's my same, you know, main attack ability. I don't have two different buttons to basically do the same thing. The only thing that's different is one is for single target and one is for AoE. And it saves button space. These are my kind of macros. I don't like when everybody else has a single target main hitting thing for their primary attack. It was just annoying to me when I was tanking on the pally. Jeez, when I was tanking on the. Well, it is a female blood elf. It was just easier for me to, mostly because my surrounding buttons are very similar to all my other tanks, where I all have, you know, I've got my main attack right next to my taunt, right next to my AoE attack, right next to my other thing. So I've got these things as similar as possible, even though it's impossible to mirror it perfectly. I've got my, you know, main 1 through 5 keys on my keyboard as close as possible between all my tanks, so that no matter which one I'm on, it's almost the same, and it just takes me just a minute to readjust myself when I switch between the two. So this particular macro for me makes it a little bit easier to keep my muscle memory from making me do the wrong thing. So that's all I've got for this particular section for Ledicious Warrior. There's many more, of course. There's tons and tons more that you could use. We'll get into mouse overs and more advanced stuff a little bit later, but those are the three basic ones I would recommend getting starting with, especially since you don't have any yet. And of course, check the show notes for those specific macros if you want to try them out. And moving on to DPS macros, and we'll let Rob take over from here. Go for it.
There are so many DPS classes and so many different things that you can do, but I just wanted to throw out a couple that I like that make sense to me. One of the first things that came to mind after raiding now on a Death Knight, since I have a battle res, is very, very, very simple. That when I cast that battle res, I actually have a say along with it that announces it. So if I'm not able to say it out in mumble, or if we're not able to communicate or whatever's going on, you know, when I do that, it also calls it out visually. So you guys or my team can see it on the screen, and they know that, you know, hey, this person's coming back, they're going to need big heals on them, or we're going to need rebuffs, or something's going on, or even the player that's being rezzed knows specifically it's cast now, you know, so they can take that rez accordingly. So that's just a real, real basic one, but it's really, really helpful.
Thinking back real quick on that, as we said earlier, macros are almost like add-ons without the GUI or without the interface. There are add-ons that will do those announcements. You can download an add-on and it does those things, but you can do all of these things without add-ons. You can do these in a macro, and that's one example of you've created a macro without having to download an add-on, all within game.
That does, and you can customize it at whatever level you want. You know, mine is as simple as, you know, in say it comes up and says rezzing such and such, you know, and there's even part of the command that you write that'll, whoever you're targeting, it'll automatically say their name. You know, you can yell it, you can say it, you can say something funny, you can, you know, however you want to do it. There's it's super, super customizable and very, very easy. It's one of the, and I'm going to refer to Death Knight here on a couple of these, but there's a move called Pillar of Frost that you do. It's basically a DPS boost, like a little strength boost that you can do, and I like to keep that on cooldown because it's another one, like Hoof was saying a minute ago, very, really, really, really short cooldown. It's like a minute cooldown. It lasts like I don't know, 15, 20 seconds like that. But you like to keep that on cooldown because that's just free DPS. So it's one of those why not use it kind of things. So I macro that with a couple of moves. I can do a blood tap if I don't have a rune available. It'll make that available, and then I can use that pillar of frost to get that extra DPS boost out of it. So when you're in these situations where, you know, DPS really does matter and you're pushing it, you know, you want to keep those heavy hitting moves on cooldown. So any extra thing that you can do, like you were saying earlier, activating your trinkets or your racial. You know, I play an orc death knight, so that blood fury racial that gives me that extra attack power. Tie all those into one macro so that when I know I'm about to do some of my heavier hitting moves, you know, I activate those first so I can kind of get the most bang for my buck out of that. Another one that I do is exactly what Hoof was saying in his example with the paladin. I use a shift modifier. If I click this key, it's going to give me single target. If I hold shift and click the key, it's going to give me AoE instead. So you're getting two moves out of the same button, and it just saves a lot of room too. It helps clean up your bars, clean up your interface, and I know hit this for single target. Hit this, you know, hold down the button and hit it for AoE. So that's really, really nice. I like, you could do that on several different classes. You know, you can do that with the Pally, you know, their Divine Storm and Crusader Strike. With a Shaman, you got your Lightning or your Chain Lightning. You know, there's a lot of different classes that kind of have that single target or AoE move that you can kind of spam there.
When we're saying click it or it's a button, We're using this terms universally. We're not. I mean, it'll work if you click it. It'll still function the same way. But it also works as a hotkey that you can have on a keybind or any of those things. So
yeah, I just wanted to bounce my mouse.
Yep.
So I mean, you can bind it to whatever you want. Do it whatever you want. Whether you're physically pushing the number one key or whether you're a clicker and you're mousing over it and clicking it. You know how or like I could just set on my mouse. You know, however you want to do that. You can put it wherever you want, but you can make it behave differently depending on how you set up your macro.
Oh, behave.
And my last example that I want to bring up here, I'm not going to name any names, but we've had a couple of people who struggled with fights like the Spine of Deathwing when that plate pulls back and you got to hit that tendon. Man, for some reason, a couple guys could not target that tendon, and you know, there's AoE flying everywhere, and they're just not able to do it. So there's two ways you can kind of do this. You can make an assist macro, and you will assist a specific person. So you can set that up to assist your tank. So whatever your tank is hitting, you know, you hit this, you can macro it into an ability, or you know, just set it up as just an assist macro, and when you hit that, you are going to target whatever that person is targeting. That's a good way of doing it. Or you can make a specific target macro, like on the Blackhorn fight on the ship. What I do is when the sappers come down, I have a macro that targets those little sapper guys, the Twilight Sappers, and then I do a death grip onto them, which grips them. You know, the little hand reaches out and pulls them back to where I'm at. So what I do is I stand way far away from that hull or the deck or whatever it is of the ship there, and I grip and I don't have to target them. I don't have to worry about it. All I do is hit this macro that I made. It automatically finds that sapper, grabs him and jerks him back to the group where we can finish him off real quick without having to deal with all that extra damage. So that's pretty much my examples. I don't know if you guys had anything you wanted to add to those or not.
No, I mean, I could add to it, but we'll cover more in the advanced portion after. Right now, we're just doing some basic examples of
just some of our favorites. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hand, what do you got? I know you got all kinds of cool healing ones.
Well, my main form of healing is all macros. I use most over macros, but not tied directly to that. I picked from each healing class one of my main macros that I use. On my Shaman, it's the Oh Crap macro. So it's Nature's Swiftness, which will give you an instant heal. Your next cast will be instant. So it'll do my Nature's Swiftness, then pop all my trinkets in case some of them are on use abilities that have increased spell power. and then it'll cast Greater Healing Wave. So that's an instant big heal when I need it. Since a druid has Nature Swiftness as well, you can do the same thing, but on my druid, I also have an innervate macro. If I mouse over a target, it will innervate that person. But if I have my mouse on no one, if I don't have a mouse over on anything, it will innervate me. So, you know, it's just a quick, I don't have to think about innervating myself. I can just hit the button and it automatically goes to me. If I want to do it to someone else, then I take the extra step to actually target them with a mouse over. My paladin, I have a judgment macro. That starts auto attack since you get mana regen from attacking. So if you're in melee range, and this macro I have will automatically start that for me. It'll cast judgment on the target of my target. So if I am going to heal the tank, and I notice that my judgment buff isn't, I think it's judgments of the pure. If that buff is not going, I'll just have to be targeted on the tank that I'm about to heal, and I'll hit this macro, and it'll cast judgment on the tank's target. So that way, I don't have to target the mob. I can just keep my target over on the tank.
Right, because you're healing, and you've got
all your group
targeted or moused over, and you don't have to worry about finding somebody to target and aggroing the wrong thing or anything. It just does it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a really great one. Yeah, since your mana regen actually depends on you having that buff up, that's a really important one.
Yeah, exactly. For discipline spec, for my priest, I have a macro. I've actually got it built into four macros for my flash heal, binding heal, greater heal, and prayer of healing. Inner focus. What that spell does is it's on a 45-second cooldown, and it will reduce the mana by 100% of your next spell, next of those four spells, and it'll increase the crit chance by 25%. So 45 seconds is not a very long cooldown. So with the benefits you get by using Inner Focus, it pays to use it every chance you get. So by having it macro to these four abilities that are directly affected by it, it's win-win for me. I'm getting lower mana every 45 seconds and increased crit chance, and I never forget to use that ability. You know, and there's many more like this. You know, it's cooldowns, and you know, like I think both you guys had mentioned in yours, you know, it's the same kind of thing for all three roles: tanking, DPS, and healing. The macros are all similar. It just depends on the ability that you're going to use in them.
Right. Yeah. Well, and like we've been saying too, you could literally use that on every pull. And it's free whatever, free DPS, free heals, free threat for the tank.
Exactly,
you know,
yeah.
So why, you know, if you can just macro that into something you're using already and it's free and it, you know, it increases what you're doing, then, I mean, it's a win-win, really.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have gone into a group and people are getting frustrated with you because you're trying to tank and you just can't seem to take less damage for whatever reason, you're just taking too much damage, or your DPS and you can't figure out how to just push it over that edge. You think you're doing everything right, and you are reading that you've got to use these cooldowns, and you use those cooldowns, or you're healing and you're just not sure why you're falling behind, why you're running out of mana so fast, how come your heals just don't seem as powerful. Whatever role you're doing, you may not be using all the tools in your tool set as often or as conveniently as you'd like. Maybe you're running out of button space, or maybe it's just maybe you don't have a gaming mouse and you're running out of keybinds that are in reachable or convenient areas to use quickly or efficiently. So the macros, they're not going to play the game for you. It's not like you can just hit one button and it does everything for you. You still have to be healing somebody. You still have to press the heal buttons and choose the correct healing spells for the right situation. But what these macros are going to do, or DPS or tanking, but what these macros are going to do is allow you to combine all of the other stuff. I mean, if you're a new player, I'm sure some of this has to be a little overwhelming. And, you know, in addition to all these different things you have to do, then you've got cooldown management on top of all of this stuff. So these things help. Sure, you know, it's not going to be probably something that, you know, world first raiders are doing, but if you're not at that level where you have that kind of control yet, this is really going to be a step up in just optimizing it that much more. In the episode where we talked about Ask Mr. Robot and how, yes, okay, it's not going to be 100% optimization, but if you're in the class of range of players where, you know, you're only 50% efficient and this is going to bump you up your healing or DPS or tanking ability 25%, 30%, 40%, you know, it's going to put you up in that extra bracket. You know, these things will help push you into that bracket. And from there, you can even, you know, once you get familiar with it or comfortable with it, you can modify them. You can try new ones out. You can try different stuff out to help keep improving it. And it's all supported in the game. These are all, I mean, this is the WoW default interface these belong to. So don't be afraid of them.
Weird cheating, weird scandalous stuff. I know there was a couple of expansions ago, the big thing was to write a macro that would include your entire rotation in one macro and Death Knights killing people with one, you know, with a one button macro. But I think that age is gone. You know, it's Blizzard's really refined it now. It's with different global thing. By using that thing and more of a priority based rotation rather than hit A B C D, you know, that's all gone now. So macros aren't cheating by any means. They're just a way of streamlining and enhancing what you're already doing and kind of taking advantage of being able to use the, you know, some of those things that may be out of your reach, being able to put those, you know, put that like Hend was saying with the enhanced healing or the enhanced DPS, you know, being able to integrate that all in a much easier form.
Well, yeah, and the thing with macros is you can't put two abilities with a global cooldown in the same macro and have them work together. So, you know, if we're using an ability first that's on one of these cooldowns, like for instance the inner focus, it has no global cooldown, and the heal does. So just in Blizzard designing these abilities like this, they're meant to be used together like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's right. It's how they're designed. They're meant to be like this. You know, it's meant that you hit inner focus and immediately hit that heal. You know, it's how it's designed and how it's meant to be used. And we're using the tools that they're giving us how I think they want us to, you know, by setting up these macros.
Right. If you're always using that ability with this one spell, why hit two buttons to do one action when you can hit one button to do one action? And if it's meant to be that way, why not use it that way?
Yeah, cooldown on the first one. Sorry.
Yeah.
Then yeah, that's how it's meant to be. That's how they want you to do it. Go ahead.
So
there's a time warp in Canada.
There is.
Or bloodlust.
More than any other class, I've noticed the worst spell compatibilities with druids. Two perfect examples. Three. Examples.
Four. Anyone?
Four examples. Three. Wait, did I? No, you said four. Three. Dang it. You're messing me up. It's like with the episode number. I'm just confused now. So three examples in druids. You've got Skullbash Cat. You've got Skullbash Bear. You've got Feral Charge Bear, Feral Charge Cat. And you've got Stampeding Roar Bear and Stampeding Roar Cat. These frustrate me beyond belief. And I don't know. I didn't look to see if these were fixed on beta. I hope they are. But for now, at least right now, I don't like having to know that there's six different spells for three different actions. So what I had done was I made one feral charge macro, and that is feral charge. If I'm in bear, it automatically casts the bear version of that. If I'm in cat, it casts the cat version of it. And same with Stampeding Roar. It's just in the macro, I've got both the spells built in that detects what form I'm in, and depending on what form I'm in, it casts that version of that spell. Again, this isn't cheating. It's not doing anything for me other than saying, you know, I just saved you 3 extra button spaces somewhere on your action bar or hotkey keybinds, whatever. I've saved you some space. I've saved you the convenience of not even having to worry about which one you're doing. You just, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in bear or cat. I can't go to bear form, interrupt with a skull bash, go to cat form, interrupt again. They share a cooldown. So it's technically it's the same spell. It's just they have different names for different forms. So,
and it won't work if you're in the wrong form. I had the cat bash on my bear bar for a little while and didn't even realize it. And I'm like, why can I not? What's going on here? This isn't working. I can't interrupt this guy.
Yeah. So I fixed that myself by making a macro that did it for me. Now, again, once you're familiar with macros, it's not going to be overnight probably, but you know, you'll eventually learn how to recognize, you know what, I could really just make this make sense and not have to have so much spell management going on, and just write your own macros and put them together like that. That's just an example of making the game more efficient where it should already be more efficient, or it should already work that way anyway. There should only be one skull bash, and it works whether or not I'm in bear or cat. And it has one cooldown, so if I switch to bear, switch to cat, it's still on the same cooldown. It doesn't matter. But let's go ahead and move on. We're running a little long. We'll probably run longer than we think we are gonna. Let's go a little bit over to some slightly more advanced macroing. Again, if you are already very familiar with macros, this is probably still just common knowledge. But for those that are getting into it, in addition to all these basic macros we've been talking about, there's a few advanced options that you can do with spell management. And you've heard us say this a couple times already, mouseovers. Really what this does is you can turn your spell into something that you would otherwise have to physically click on or hit tab to target it, or this enables you to simply move your cursor, your mouse cursor, over. It could be the 3D model of the enemy or friend on the screen, or it could be the unit frame with the health bar and the mana bar. It could be any of those things.
Even if you're using any sort of other unit frame modifier, if you're using Grid or Voodoo or the Blizzard raid frames, any of those will still work.
Yep. Any unit frame at all, the mouseovers will work with. And it if you are using something like Grid or Healbot or any of those things, using mouseovers can only enhance what that already provides. I know things like Voodoo provide stuff like left or right click on a unit frame and it'll cast some spells for you, and I think that's awesome. But I also like not having to click at all if I don't have to. So there's a whole mess of things that you can enhance with mouseover macros in addition to what's already out there. Even if you're using the stock UI that doesn't have any of those things built into it, mouseovers can improve your game a ton. Mostly, I would say that applies to healing, but there are definitely some useful mouseover situations in DPS and tanking as well. Another advanced topic is multi-condition macros. These are macros that you build. The easiest example to use this is in a mouseover situation. Let's say you've got, let's say you target an enemy, a boss or whatever, and you've also, right next to your target frame, you've got your party. And let's say you've got you're healing, you've got a heal over time spell, but of course your class also has a damage over time spell. What a multi-condition macro can do for you is it can combine your damage over time. Well, really, you could combine any two things in the example I'm going to use, but I'm just going to use a heal over time and a damage over time as an example. And the reason why I combine those two together is because, again, it helps keeps my head straight. So I know that if I'm casting a hot on an enemy, that same keybind or button spell will cast a dot on an enemy. So the multi-condition macro, you build into the command that says if it's a friend, it'll cast a hot. If you move that mouse from your friend to the enemy target frame or 3D model, and you press the same button, it'll cast a dot. So it enables you to switch gears if you're just trying to squeeze in a little extra DPS, or if you're, maybe you're trying to screw around and just goof off. You can easily switch back and forth between healing and DPS with multi-condition macros, and especially if you'd use multi-condition macros combined with the mouse over function as well. It's as simple as you don't even have to break stride. You just move your mouse, hit the same buttons that you would, except, oh, if this is a big heal, maybe that's a nuke that you combined with that one. If this is a hot, maybe you combine a dot with that one.
Well, you know, with three out of the four healing classes, they have damage dealing moves that are very beneficial to them. You know, like we talked about earlier with the Holy Pally having mana regen based on keeping up damage buffs, and a Resto Shaman, you know, when they do their Lightning Bolt, it gives them mana regen. And with the Disc Priest, you know, they could smite. And, you know, so this makes tons of sense to work that in, to be able to do, you know, on the fly, oh, I need to make sure my mana regen is up, or, you know, I'm going to smite, or I'm going to whatever you're going to be doing, to be able to do that on the fly without having to, you know, switch to a whole different thing. You're literally just pushing the same button, but you're going to get a different result.
Yeah, I have.
Right, because you've moused over a different an enemy, which changes the condition of the spell.
Yeah. All my healers, I heal strictly with mouse overs. I use Blizzard unit frames. And the way I normally do it is I will target the mob that we're fighting or the boss and just heal with mouse overs. So if I get an opportunity to cast some lightning bolts, for instance, on my shaman, to get the mana regen, all I need to do is just move my mouse even off of the raid frames and just hit my lightning bolt spell, which conveniently is also my healing wave spell. So if I'm, you know, I have the conditions set up that if I'm moused over a unit frame, it will heal them. If my mouse is over nothing, it will either heal the target, or if it's a mob, it will lightning bolt that target. So I have conditions for all the healers that I have, and they're all the same thing. Even with another great example is interrupts. You know, we had discussed that in, what was that, episode 2, I believe, when we were talking about Ashera.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I keep her targeted. When we're on that fight, I keep her targeted, and then heal with mouse overs. When she goes to cast her big spell that has to be interrupted, I just need to take my mouse off of the unit frames and hit my interrupt button, and it will automatically interrupt her without having to retarget her or anything, because I already have her targeted, because I'm just strictly mouse over healing with all these macros. You know, it's the best way to heal as far as I'm concerned. I can't imagine doing it any other way.
I can imagine you doing it another way.
Yeah, well, once I figured out mouse overs and told you about them.
Right. I forgot.
Okay, I'll give you this one. I was stubborn for the longest time. And then finally he got me, Taylor got me to try them once, and I haven't looked back. I'll give it to you this one time.
From every other episode on out, it's Hen's invention.
Never again will I admit this.
You need to make a ringtone out of him saying that.
Oh man! But now go ahead.
Oh, it's just the functionality you can get. It's just the versatility you can have. It's fantastic. If you haven't done it, you need to try it, and I swear you'll be hooked. you won't want to heal any other way.
And give it a chance. Don't use it for 5 minutes and say, this isn't for me. Give it a chance just to get used to how it feels to do it, because it's going to take, especially if you've got weird habits like pressing F keys to heal or something crazy.
Who would do that?
I have no idea who did that.
I don't know either. Beyond me.
If you're used to clicking, if you really are a clicker, and I know there's some clickers that totally rock out there, but if you're used to clicking, this is going to be really weird for you, but you're going to find your work is cut in half, really.
Yeah, you'll save time, you'll be more versatile, you'll be more utile. you have more utility and more versatility. That works better.
Mm-hmm. There you go. We're making
and I like utile. That's what I need to do to my floor. Oh no. Sorry. I'm sorry. It's horrible. I can't avoid a bad pun.
Yeah. I just want to throw this in here right now. Since we're recommending you try mouse over macro healing, what I recommend is getting just one add-on to go with it if you're going to use Blizzard's frames, and it's called Blizzard Raid Frame Indicators. What this will do is on Blizzard's unit frames, it'll add, you know, you can add all your hots. So you'll know how much time you have left on your hots on all the unit frames. That way you don't have to rely on another add-on. Like, I'm sure Healbot does that, or Grid or Voodoo, all those. You don't need those big bulky add-ons anymore. This raid frame indicators, you can add all that functionality in here along with all these mouse over macros. You know, so if you're gonna try this, and I really encourage you to give it a try, get that add-on to help you with it, and you'll never look back.
If it's been a while since you've used the default Blizzard frames, they really have come a long way since halfway through Wrath. I think it was in the Cataclysm Wrath patch, was it not, where they introduced the new unit raid frames? I can't remember. I think so. There's a lot of options in the default frames. It's not as pretty as some of the other ones, but everything you need is there. You can make fat health bars. You can see the resources. You can do class coloring. You can do health remaining or health
percentage.
You can all of those things that the original Blizzard frames used to have that really sucked have been modified greatly. And you can even arrange, I mean, it's limited, but you can still arrange if you want them in a bar going straight across, or two columns going straight down. You can still arrange all of that, and you can scale it. And I mean, there's a lot of options there to use it. And yes, the Blizzard Raid Frame Indicators, it's a great supplemental add-on, because it will show you the time remaining on all of your stuff. If you've got rejuve on everybody, you can see the countdown of your rejuve. Now Hen can speak to this. It does take a little bit of setting up, because you have to input the name of the spell you want to track, and then you have to, if I recall, you have to choose a position. There's like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, kind of like a number pad. Right. So you just have to pick where you put in a spell that you want to track, and where on the unit frame you want it to display. From there on out, if you cast a hot, it'll show it. You know, if you pick the upper right hand corner, let's say the 9 position, if you want to use a number pad as a reference, then your rejuves will always show in the 9 position. Or your beacon of light, you've got it in the 3 position. It'll count it down for how much time is remaining there. I can't tell you how many times Hend has told our other pally healer, hey, your bubble,
what was it called?
Dropped. I just said it. your beacon.
Your beacon's dropped, yeah.
So, and all that's tracked through a super light add-on on the default raid frames, and it's, we are kind of very minimalistic. I think after playing for so long and going through the phases of all the pretties and getting tired of all the pretties breaking all the time, we've got a little bit of experience in what works and what takes the least amount of effort and the most amount of information and return that you get out of it. It's not the, obviously, it's not the final word. You know, some people are going to do what they want to do, and that's fine. But hey, give mouse overs a try if you're a healer, because it's super cool. And if you don't want to try it, that's fine too. I say if it, if it helps you,
have to try it.
It's more okay. More appealing for me, more DPS for me. Then that's cool. I've been accused of hogging the DPS in some of these runs lately. So, however that works.
Why you're healing? You mean?
No, I've been accused. I was doing a run the other day, and I got yelled at for hogging the DPS, and that's why two of the other guys were. Their DPS was so low because I was hogging it all.
How do you hog the DPS? You either do it macros. Or you don't.
See, you need macros so you can hog the DPS too.
They weren't using macros, I guess.
You go through a whole dungeon and you don't, and you've got a 30-second cooldown damage cooldown, and you were in there for 20 minutes and didn't use it at all. Then yeah, maybe that's why your DPS is low. I don't know. Now, this has to go on the show notes. When I was after I showed Hen the mouse over stuff, and on my mage I had a focus and a polymorph macro and everything. This one is all Hen. Hen came up with the super macro for Shaman. Since they have two crowd control abilities, he came up with this wicked cool Hexbind macro. Hex bind elemental macro. There's no way you could talk it out and not screw it up and have to start all over again. But I got it.
I actually modified it now, so it's even. It's well, you know the modification, but I used to have it not as good. But basically, like if you have an assignment to hex and bind an elemental, you want to set one of them as your focus, and the other one. It would just be a mouse over. So what the macro does, first of all, is if you just hit the button, it will hex. If you hit shift and the button, it will bind elemental. So it's got a shift modifier in there. And then it's got three different conditions for each one. So first it's going to check for a mouse over. So if your mouse is over the mob that you need to crowd control, it will cast it. If your mouse is not over it, then it's going to check your focus. And if you have a focus, then it's going to cast it on your focus. But if you don't have a mouse over and you don't have a focus, then it's going to try and cast it on your target. And that goes for your hex and your shift. So you could mouse over the first one to hex it. And if you have the other one set as your focus, the bind elemental, then you hold down shift and hit this, and it's going to cast the bind elemental on your focus target. So you can easily crowd control two things at the same time without breaking a sweat, all from one button. And yes, we're going to have this in the show notes. I will make sure it gets in there.
Just a note, it's not at the same time, because you can't cast both crowd controls at the same time, but well, you could cast them back twice, to back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, when we go in and you know, let's say we're undergeared and it's the first time we went into the 5-man halls of origination or something, and or one of those other ones that has humanoids and elementals mixed up.
Grim Butthole.
Yeah. Grim Butthole. Yeah, oh yeah, that's a great example. So Hand is mouse over healing, and I make the call, okay, these two need to be crowd controlled, let's get a hex and let's get a bind elemental. There isn't even a sweat. Hand is healing. And he's got the two crowd controlled immediately. It makes it near effortless. This goes to the utile part of utility. Not only are you versatile, because most people say, well, get the mage to do it or get the whatever to do it. And maybe a mage can't polymorph an elemental because they can't. But this is just an example. Not only are you versatile because you're healing, your utility has just bumped up threefold because you healed and crowd controlled two different targets at the same time with no effort, and it didn't take you 10 actions to do it either. Click on this, click that, crowd control. Right, click on the other one, click that, crowd control. Click on the person, start healing. You know, I guess that's 6 actions, but... those actions are done autonomously, and it halved. Jeez.
Halved.
It cut. I don't know what it. We're me and words tonight. Words and I are not getting along. It cut in half the amount of actions and probably the time it took for you to do all three things at once.
And it made him look like a pro.
Well. Yeah,
and he could do
I don't need any help with that.
And he could do his flex macro at the same time, so he's kissing his biceps the whole time. He's, you know.
Yes, that's the best macro I have by far. By far.
You know, going back to the train macro, if I ever run a five man, people know when they hear the train macro that I'm about to pull.
Yep, I think I trained. Between Taz and I think we've trained everybody in Guild. When you hear the train, if we're not in a city, we're pulling something.
Yeah, you better get ready.
Well, I think that's going to wrap it up with our macro discussion for
I actually had one other thing four. That I thought of that I wanted to throw in here real quick.
We're wrapping
up. When you're making your macro, when you're... Okay, I'll see you guys later. when you've got that macro window open and you're not really sure what you want to do, you can open your spellbook right next to it, and the same way that you would link a piece of gear or you would link an ability or anything, you can shift click right into your spellbook as you're writing that macro, and it'll insert that macro name right into it, so you don't have to worry about typing it out correctly or using the proper name. You can just shift click it, you know, and it'll throw it right in there. That way you don't have to play with it.
Yep. And most of these macros, most any macro, if you like the function of what it's doing, and you say, okay, this works awesome on a priest, how do I do this for a shaman or whatever? Mm-hmm. These are all copy and paste. You can copy this macro, paste it into your shaman macro window, and just change the spell names from the healing or DPS spell of the priest, and just change the spell name to the healing or DPS spell of whatever class you're on now. If you like, you know, like you can basically take one mouse over heal macro and just use it for your entire arsenal of healing.
Recycle it. Just switch out the names.
All the time.
That's all I do.
Now I think we're done, right?
I don't know. Any more pro tips?
You know what? I'll throw this out there.
Here we go.
This will be quick. But if you were having trouble getting a macro to work, or there's something that you think a macro could do and you can't figure it out, you're just having a heck of a time, send us an email.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We will help you write that macro. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing this, is to help you take that extra step to become just a little bit better. And if a macro is there that'll do it, and you know what you want it to do, but you can't quite get it, just send us an email, and I'm sure we can help you write that. Okay, yes. Now I'm done. You can wrap it.
All right. Well, I think it's time for some hen love. Hen love.
Always hen love.
All right, this is basically our shout-outs, everybody. So, shout-out to everyone in our guild in Hoarderlies. Shout-out to a dude that pugged into our raid, because unfortunately our good friend Taz had some serious Comcast problems today. Kima, so I want to thank you for jumping in there halfway through a raid, not knowing if we sucked or not. And
right.
So
we're almost also, done. Will somebody please help us?
Right. Oh my God, we're wiped. Nah, it didn't get. Oh man, tonight's raid was weird because it was such a face roll. It was. That 30% nerf was unexpectedly easy. All right, shout out also to Jangasm. Thank you, Jan. You have given us a 5-star review. Someone's going to read that here in a second. Thanks for mentioning us on your podcast. So we're going to mention you on ours.
Yes.
Thanks to Kevin the Old Scratch, or Kevin Old Scratch, and App Sana of the Dark Moon Herald.
Nice.
Thanks for your pimping of us. Thanks to Jules and Rem of the Torin Think Tank for also more pimpage. And lastly, thanks to Root and Freckleface of Hearthcast who have also been pimping us out. They helped us get started on several things, and we thank them as well.
I thought it was Hearthcast.
Oh, yeah. Hearthcast. It's Earth, right? It's Earth with an H. Hearthcast. It's been Hearthcast.
Looks like to me.
I'm going to grab one of these five-star reviews that we got, because that is stinking awesome. And this one is from Big B in San Jose. That's actually his name. It says, I heard your show on another cast, and the first show I hear is the Rhett Pally cast. The class that I play is also just an average player who loves the game. This struck an instant chord and proceeded to learn more about Rhett in the way that I can understand than all the YouTube videos and websites that I've seen in the year that I've been playing. Greatly informative and fun, and I will gladly put your WoWcast in the rotation. P.S. Glad to see all you podcasters supporting each other, as I listen to almost all of them and might not have ever found you if not for the other shows. You guys need a catchphrase. I think we do have a catchphrase, but...
I thought we
did. Yeah, you'll hear it. Yeah. You'll hear it at the end of the show.
The cool
Mighty
thing,
Coltrane
will
speak it.
What he said here, too, that I really like, though, is it's not a contest. It's a community, and there's some outstanding shows out there, and you guys should listen to all of them. You know, we were able to give shout-outs to a couple of those, but, yeah, there's some stinking awesome shows out there. There's no reason for it to be a contest.
Not at all.
Yeah, one of those other awesome shows is Something Suggestive, and as Hoofed had mentioned, we got a five-star review from the host of that, Jan. She says, I've been hooked since episode zero. Hend, Hoofed, and Hotbox have amazing chemistry both on air and off, and are just all-around great, hilarious guys. A very entertaining listen that will also teach you a thing or two. I absolutely love this show. I just want to thank you guys again for those five-star reviews, and you know, I just want to say this as well. We mentioned it last time. If you hear anyone mention us on their show or mention us anywhere, let us know so that we can send the love back.
Mm.
Real quick, just a reminder, Something Suggestive is an explicit podcast, so don't have your speakers turned up too high if you listen to that at work.
Is that the voice of experience there?
Possibly. But anyway, I guess that does it for episode 4, not 3, of The Training Dummies. Be sure to check out our website, thetrainingdummies.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Training Dummies. And subscribe to us on iTunes and hopefully soon Stitcher, but not yet. I will let you know when. You can also email your questions or MP3 to the show at thetrainingdummies.com. In addition to that, you can reach us all individually. Myself on Twitter is at @hend_hoardrelease. Hotpox is at Rob Copeland. And Hoofit is at WowHoof. And our emails are hendhotpoxhoofit, all at thetrainingdummies.com.
Sweet. Thanks, guys, for listening. See you next time.
Oh, yeah.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!
Right. 1, 2, 5.
Three, sir.
3.
Club global club.
Okay,
I'll see you guys later.